You are listening to your auntie's favorite DJ, DJ Treacy Tree.
What is going on? It's DJ Treacy Treece, and you are back. Welcome back to What the Pod. You are now listening to episode 8. For those of you that are new to What the Pod, welcome to the show. You can always go back and binge watch our past episodes or binge listen to our past episodes, because What the Pod is a podcast that just recommends new podcasts to listen to. Everyone who listens to podcasts is into new podcasts, right? No. You're probably listening to the same ones, and that's trash. So definitely listen to my show and find new ones like our guest today. Today I've got on Jared from the Louder Now podcast. Jared, welcome to What the Pod. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me on. Love the intro. Good energy.
Thank you.
Already.
Thank you. I just try to get the backstage lit so that we can kind of just like turn it up.
I don't have a DJ name. I'm just Jared.
But, JD. I just made it right there. You're JD. DJ JD.
In high school, I was Martin Silver Fox was my like video name for like all the goofy videos I made with my friends, and it was just my middle name and my street name. So
what's
now in LA, name is- everybody's got to have a name, you know. So
yeah.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So Jared, tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Well, again, thanks for having me on. It's always just an honor to be able to just, you know, meet new people. And a couple years ago, I started the Louder Now podcast really just out of a few different reasons. I mean, the biggest thing really just wanting to help people with understanding, having conversations about mental health, mental illness. There's a little bit of a difference between those two things, but it's similar. Mostly just out of my own personal struggles with bipolar and depression and anxiety, and suicide, and going through lots of hard things in the last, kind of my whole life, but more specific to like the last 15 years of just lots of doctors and hospitals and lots of ups and downs, lots of pain. And I think I've always been a communicator or a talker. I've always liked to write, and just, you know, it's really out of my own kind of wanting to learn from myself, trying to just explore these things in like a deeper way. And podcasting's unique because you just kind of can do whatever you want, you know, as the host, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. So I feel like I'm kind of just getting started, even though I've been doing it for a couple of years. So
yeah, you're right. Podcasts are that way. And I love that anybody can start a podcast, because everybody's story matters. So I'm so glad that you made a podcast about this. Tell me a little bit about like the beginning stages of the podcast, and or what kind of episodes like you normally have during the podcast.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, it's kind of a funny story how it actually started, because I had been maybe 4 or 5 months before I started recording, I was like traveling a lot from my job, and I was just reflecting a lot, usually in airplanes. And there was a suicide that had happened, a pastor that I didn't know personally, but just big church in Chino. This guy died by suicide. It was like all over the news, really tragic. And that kind of like re-prompted me to start doing some more like public speaking with mental health, which was something I had done a couple years like before. This is 2018. And then kind of Louder Now is like the name that I had kind of come up with, because that's what I used on my blog. And then, I was just talking to my roommate about it, and he kind of has like all the recording equipment. And one night he just was like, yeah, let's do your podcast, man. And I thought he was talking about like being a guest on his podcast, because he had like a little podcast thing going. And I had like really no experience with with podcasting, and I didn't really even listen to podcasts at the time. So yeah, we kind of just pretty rough draft just sort of started, and he kind of helped me do the first like 12 episodes and launch it, and I was really grateful for that. And then since then, I've kind of just been doing it myself, and then more recently, in the last like six, eight months, it's really become more like a lot of guest people are on the show. So I try to like break it up and do like kind of some solo episodes with myself, just talking about different topics and sharing my own story. And then most of the episodes now are like just people from like all walks of life, experts, normal people, teachers, therapists. And a lot of connections have been made through Facebook, actually, through a lot of these podcast groups that are out there. And there's that's a little bit about kind of what I do, is just try to just get other people's. It's more interesting to like talk to other people and like hear people's stories and get into it, especially with mental health, because everybody's different, you know, even though there's a lot of similarities, I think, within like the struggles that you have. So I've learned a lot from just conversations. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad that you brought up the fact that everybody's different, especially around anxiety, just because I feel like online, you brought up the Facebook thing, is we might be looking at profile pictures and all these different things, and we create this kind of social anxiety. So do you think that our present day, like especially with how heavily we use technology, has it weighed negatively for you with mental health, or has it been the opposite, or, you know, have you had on a guest on your show that's had talked about that a little bit?
That's a really great question. I mean, a little bit of kind of all of the above. I think if any of us spend too much, it's hard with technology because it's so accessible. It, like, any free moment that you have throughout the day, whatever you're doing, it's so easy to just be like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know, Reddit, whatever, you know. And obviously too much of that without self-control, I guess, kind of, I think can naturally just weigh you down, because you're also kind of seeing a lot of stuff that's like not completely real, you know. It's like, it's real people, but, you know, it's either really hot girls or, you know, everybody just being kind of like at their best, you know?
Yeah. So, for sure. And most of it's manufactured.
Of course. Yeah. So I think naturally, I think there is studies and research on how technology kind of, and these sort of mental health issues are very much connected. I'm not an expert, so I don't completely know all the details, but I do think it can feed loneliness and anxiety and depression if you're not careful. But then it is sort of a double-edged sword, because then on the other side of it, there's lots of people who are using it to, you know, do a lot of good and kind of encourage people and raise awareness, make people feel like they're not alone. There are lots of really good stuff online, resources when it comes to, I mean, there's also bad information too. That's also the way our world is too, right? There's lots of not fake news, but, you know, probably, yes, but just fake, like not the right information. So you do have to be careful if you're Googling, you know, I'm depressed or I'm suicidal, right? Like, you have to be careful, you know, what rabbit hole you go down with all of that stuff. But I do see a lot of people using it for good. And that's like my goal too, is to try to not just post random, like stupid stuff, but just try to help people with technology, you know.
So. Yeah. And too, I mean, if we weren't on Facebook, we wouldn't have met. We technically met in a Facebook group.
But yeah, to answer your question too, you also asked, have I had people a little bit, not as much of a deep dive into that. Sometimes I do forget to ask people, which now I'll probably do this with future guests, of like, hey, how does technology? I had one guy that we talked about anxiety a lot, and he wrote like a book about anxiety, and he was like a firefighter in like the forest, like a wildland firefighter.
Oh my goodness. That sounds like anxiety.
Yeah. And he's this man. It was really, really interesting. The kind of stuff that we talked about, really great dude. But we did talk about technology, kind of had like a chapter in his book about how technology is making us anxious. And so, yeah, that's not really a new idea. I mean, it's our world is just evolving so quickly with technology that, you know, it's hard to keep up. And especially I think with COVID, people have had more downtime to like, you know, that goes both ways too.
It's yeah,
like,
to be sucked like, into the matrix.
Yeah, you're either like learning guitar or you're just watching movies all day, right?
You know, TikToking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely get that. Man, that's so good because the reason I asked for that is because I manage my anxiety myself, and it's really, really stressful. I have a lot of different like triggers, like weather is one of them. So basically I moved to California because the weather's always sunny. Like I was literally stressed out in Indiana looking at the Doppler. Like I've studied the Doppler since I was a kid. That's how stressed and deeply rooted my anxiety is. So I have to like overcome it constantly to be like, oh my God, it's going to rain in LA, but it's not going to like be a torrential downpour that's going to make me drive weird or anything like that. You know, like you have to just fight those battles.
Yeah. Weather does impact people. My sister actually lives in Seattle and it took her a little while to get used to it. It's so pretty like right now, April through September, but then really like 9 months out of the year, it's like wet and rainy. And I mean, it's fun. They have kids and it snows and they sled and they ski, but it really is cloudy. And so we are pretty spoiled here that we don't have as much of the like seasonal affective thing going on where weather kind of brings us down. And you can still struggle with depression when it's sunny out too, right?
Sure. 'Cause
you also have to like get out and like try to experience it even, you know, which we can forget to do that when we live here. I'm like, oh, the ocean's down the street, you know, but I'm just hanging out at home, you know, so. Yeah.
You got to go out and people is what I call it, you
of
know,
course.
And I'm a huge extrovert, but I've also realized like for my mental health, I need time to kind of recharge. And I noticed that from looking inwardly during COVID because, you know, I'm the DJ that's out at the clubs and out at the bars and all of that. So once that was taken away, it was a completely different mindset shift that I really had to get myself up and be like, all right, now what are we doing today? You know, that's. Because, you know, not all my joy was taken, but I have a lot of fun playing music for people. And I couldn't do that. And I still can't do that anymore at the capacity that I did before. You know, so it really took a lot of like, I think this past year for me has been the most rewarding mental health year for me because I really took the time to like read books and dig in and do shadow work and, you know, just be graceful with myself as well. And just know that, you know, you don't feel all right right now. Here are some things that you can do. To swing the mood and or, you know, really feel this emotion right now, but let's move on. Let's set up a plan to move on. So do you have some kind of strategies like that or things that you personally do?
Yeah, that's a great question. And just I do. Yeah. And I think part of the constant challenge is that you got to keep working on it like every day. There's no like day off from your own brain. You know, it's like you're always thinking but yeah, a lot of life and especially with mental health is really developing habits and you know, the more you do something, let's say good or bad, you know, the reinforcement of the habit, it obviously, if you're like watching TV 5 hours a day and you just keep doing that, right, it gets harder to maybe
not
I should read a book instead or whatever. So yeah, I go to therapy and I have a lot of people in my life that help me kind of hold me accountable to a lot of things to stay pretty sane and healthy. Because it's just easy to, it's harder to manage things, you know, on your own. Like if you're just kind of trying to do it in isolation. So I used to play hockey before COVID. So that's one thing I don't do now that I used to do. Hopefully that will change soon, but it's been closed because hard to like have a bunch of dudes, you know, run into each other out on the ice and
then take off their helmets, sweat, beat each other up.
I mean, there's professional that, you know, NHL is going, and obviously professional sports, it's good because I guess they all get tested and stuff. But yeah, I have to try to like stay active. I like to try to run and, you know, back to like the beach thing, like go to the beach, go out. I'm going camping this weekend. So that's a coping thing of like forcing myself to just get out and hang out with people. Faith is a huge part of my life. So like going to church and the Bible and all of that, and just that, like the faith community and my friends, that's a huge part of what keeps me pretty sane too. And that's true for lots of people, you know, whatever you believe, like just go after it, you know, and you do it with other people. And, I hope that answers your question a little bit.
Yeah, but, that did. That perfectly. Yeah, yeah. That's perfectly did.
Yeah.
So you talked about, you started off saying that you go to therapy and, you know, you have a little village that keeps you accountable and all that. So if there's somebody listening to this podcast and they're kind of mulling over, you know, they feel like something isn't right and they're really wanting to maybe get started in therapy. Can you talk about like maybe how, you know, the moment you decided to go initially, how it was, you know, pretty much, you know, when you started therapy, how beneficial was it for you, and convince them a little to go right now, you know?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, you know, there's been a lot of resistance, honestly, within myself, at least in the history of my, like, the last 15 years. From 2007, I had my first diagnosis, and then I spent about 4 years being, like, over-medicated, and I didn't really do a lot of therapy until I had kind of my third like real bad breakdown, which really came from like getting off a lot of meds. So real long story short, I was like suicidal every day for like 8 months, and I had a couple of suicide attempts. This is in 2013, and I was definitely the worst time of life. And then I tried to overdose at the end of this like 8 month time, and I was in a coma for a few days. Should have died. Wow. And I didn't. And I came out of it, no brain damage, no memory loss. But then I spent 5 months in the hospital, like two different kind of psych places. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of like when I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to need to do therapy probably for a while. So I didn't say yes to therapy right away. It took like 6 or 7 years. And then even since then, because now it's been like 8 years. I've really only taken it a lot more seriously, I would say, just since like before COVID, pretty much. So, a lot of it is that, you know, I think you can read books and you can teach yourself things. I think you can surround yourself with like wisdom, you know, people who are older, who've lived life. I mean, I think that's important that we have those relationships no matter what, but there's only so much. I think you're missing out if you like don't have a professional really sit down with you and like talk through things, because you know, the process of becoming a therapist, I mean, they're not like, they don't know everything, right? But you do need to have a professional, I think, in your life if you're having any kind of consistent you know, symptoms of these things. So it took me a while to kind of get to that point where I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to need to, because I have taken medication, or I do take medication, and that's just one part of the heal. You know, that's one part of it. But I do recommend that the sooner you can like commit to having a professional help you, it's going to be hard probably for a while, because it takes a while to get used to a therapist, and it might take a couple of like switching therapists. But once you get in a groove with someone, I really think there's a lot of like fruit and benefit from that, you know? So,
yeah, that's an awesome story. And I'm so happy that you came out on the other side of it with a different perspective, and you're willing to show up for yourself every day, you know, because that's, like you said, you manage it every day. It's something that, you know, past trauma and everything, you're just being really present about your mental health, and that is extremely awesome. And especially since you're finding passion with the podcast and then trying to multiply and spread that love around. That's
yeah,
awesome.
For sure. I mean, I will say, to speak directly to like suicide, that's probably a real specific passion of helping people with that. And I'm not the only one. There's so many voices recently who, you know, a lot of it is because we see celebrities and pastors and leaders fall, or not fall, but unfortunately die by suicide. And they're obviously they're not the only ones, right? There's tons of people that we don't even know about. It also affects them too. Yeah, there was a guy at my church who was a friend who died by suicide in October, just 7 months ago. And that was really close to home. And I'm just like, I have such a heart for that. But yeah, I think once you almost die and then you live, whether you believe in God or not, or any higher power, you do get a different, it does something to you in the way that you like approach being alive and being human. I think forever, it just, you're never the same after that. So
yeah,
like, I don't want to waste my life. You know, I don't want to waste the time that I have. Because I do believe I was given a second chance, and not everybody has my story where some yeah. people just, they don't make it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so, it feels so good to be sitting here talking to a guy about mental health, because I mean, yeah. the stigma in just our community about men and mental health, like, can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah, thanks for saying that. And, part of the podcast too is I have interviewed lots of women, which I love men and women, but I especially and I appreciate women. It's a little easier for women, I think, to just be open and vulnerable about their struggles, and I appreciate that about women. But yeah, especially when I have a guy on the show, I'm like, yeah, let's bro down and like, let's get into this, you know? And there's lots of podcasts and people who've influenced me in that area. So, yeah, I think it's just, we are kind of taught, I think there's a couple of things. I mean, one can just be, at least in our kind of generation, we don't have the best relationships with our dads. I think the baby boomer generation grew up with a lot of, not the best relationships with their dads. So our fathers, I mean, I'm 35. So my dad, you know, and like, I didn't have the best relationship with my dad. He yelled a lot. He was very abusive and angry. And that really affected me as a man, as far as like my identity and feeling like good enough and fearful and all these things. So not every guy has that story, but I do think it does go back to like, you know, if I never see my dad cry or like be vulnerable or share his emotions, then if I do later on in life start dealing with depression or anxiety, which usually it does hit you later on in life, or hits you in your early 20s, let's say, when you know, go to college and run away from home or whatever, you know.
Basically, so
yeah, I think as men, where we sort of default to not emotions, we default to, you know, I got to work and I got to provide. And I'm it's kind of that primal hunter. Just my job is to go kill animals and bring them back to the village so we can all eat. You know?
Yeah.
You know? And we default. And that's not necessarily bad. I think that's just the design of, that's the difference between men and women, where women are going to be more like, what about how you feel? You know, how is your day and your emotions? And oftentimes guys, we don't really practice that kind of what maybe we would call now is like emotional intelligence.
Yes.
That's more of a recent kind of influence of like, wait, what about our emotions? And so, yeah, for me, I think having all the struggles I've had has just forced me to be, because I think I've always been pretty sensitive person, like as a guy. And I think that's why I like to do like theater when I was a kid, and like acting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I like to like feel these emotions, you know? And that's obviously made things hard when things have been hard, because it's like, oh man, I'm really kind of a feeler, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, you have to learn that to just, you know, it takes practice to like get in touch with that. So I think we are making progress as a society because people are struggling. So it's forcing us to like have these conversations, but it does need to also continue to be talked about as well. So.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, parents, stop telling your kids, you boys don't cry and get up. You're not hurt. And I hear parents say all these little things. And yeah,
exactly.
Not good. Not good at that. My dad, you know, I've never saw my dad cry. And I sat next to him at his mom's funeral and I was shocked. I was like, dude, this is your mom. He just sat there and kind of like rubbed his stomach. And I'm like, wow, you know, and he unexpectedly passed from a heart condition, you know, but oh, you got to think about like all of the grief and just the hard life, you know, hard things that happen in life with no emotional expression. I think that our society tells us that emotions are a feminine trait from a very young age, you know, right. And men don't have it in some way when emotions are a human experience and dictated by hormones in our body that none of us can actually control. You know, you have to expect highs and lows is what I tell people, you know, you just got to ride them. But I don't feel like even my guy friends, you know, they feel a little bit more transparent with me, but I don't think that, you know, society really gives them the pass of talking about emotions as much. So yeah, that sucks. That sucks so bad.
Yeah, well, to me, I think, in my opinion, a lot of it is like kind of your relationship with truth and self-awareness. It's like when you're truthful about where you're at, you can kind of tap into that. You're like, no, I actually kind of feel sad and I need to kind of like problem solve this emotion. So back to the therapy point, that is what therapy does help you do, by the mm-hmm. way. So that's another layer on top of what we were just saying earlier, which is that only a professional can, and there's probably therapists who aren't super great, but let's just say
yeah.
you get a good one over time, you don't give up and you keep at it. You can kind of tap into that with a professional of like, hey, why do you think it is that you can't cry? You know, and a lot of things do come down to like trauma, right? Like undealt with trauma that you carry with you through your life. You know, if you don't deal with it, it's going to stay with you and lead, I think, to, you know, maybe making things more hard and complicated. So yeah, it's a process. It's definitely not easy, but it's possible, you know,
it's definitely possible. So at the beginning of the conversation, you talked a little bit about like medication. So can you speak a little bit to, you know, to the point of what it was like when you first started for someone who's just, you know, a little bit more reluctant to it? You said it was just one piece. You also do therapy and practice other things. So can you encourage some people who might need to look at some medication to maybe be a little open to that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, again, kind of like the therapy thing, it's been a process because I didn't fully accept needing meds. I had been on meds for a couple of months after not sleeping. And then my mom was kind of my doctor and was like, oh, you're getting fat and you look bloated. And so she just kind of weaned me off of the meds. Then I kind of snapped out of it. Then I went on, then I had a breakdown happen again, and I had like a whole new doctor a second time around. Everyone was a little bit more like, oh, you might have a problem because this is the second time it's happened. And then I got kind of over-medicated, which can happen to people. And then I got off all of the meds of my own because I was like, I think these meds are making me feel bad. And then that led to like kind of the story I just told of like, the worst year of my life. So
yeah.
I would say that there's I'm not a doctor, but I've been around this stuff for a while. And it's like, I think, you know, medicine's never supposed to be, I don't think like permanent or even always meant to be like a long-term treatment for people. I think you can benefit from it for a season. And a season might mean a couple of years or something.
Yeah.
So it's not like a death sentence if you get to a place where you're really having a hard time managing, depending on your symptoms, depending on how severe things are, to where medicine's not going to like screw you up. But the challenge is just that there's lots of side effects with medications, and it does take your body a long time to like adapt, and it's not completely perfect. So a doctor really only can kind of try things with you, and you have, you're the one that kind of bears the brunt of like feeling it, right? But
yeah.
I think people should just try to get as much good information as they can about medications and doctors, but then also recognize too, kind of what I had said is it's one part of the puzzle.
Yeah.
So I would encourage people to just get as much help as you can. And if you need meds for a little while, then just do it, you know? And yeah. The worst thing that happens to you is you just might need to like get off of them, you know? So.
Yeah. So can't hurt. You should try, or at least consult some medical professionals and see the help that you need.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of like the therapist thing. Like, yes, there's probably lots of psychiatrists who might not be the best doctors in terms of most of the time they're not going to get super into like, what are you thinking about and what's going on with your life? You know, their job is kind of just to really focus on the medication, and the therapist and the psychologist, and that's why you kind of got to do both at the same time. Because if that makes sense, like the psychiatrist is really going to be like, let's try this and, you know, make sure that, you know, you're doing okay on that. It takes a little bit of patience for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. So Jared, tell us your favorite episode of your podcast.
Oh, wow. That's a good question. Let's see. Well, okay. Maybe I have two.
Wow,
this is a good question. I've never even thought about this. Okay. So maybe my favorite episode was an episode I did about a year ago. I can't remember which number it is, but I think it's called like 7 years later. It was basically every May 7th, 2013 was when I almost died. So I did a reflection episode on that moment and that time and, you know, almost dying, ending up in a coma, going to the hospital, you know, 5 months later. So that was a really special episode. I feel like every May, it's also like Mental Health Awareness Month too, mm-hmm. in May. You know, there's always something going on every month, right? Yeah. That was really special. And then I just did an episode with one of my friends through NAMI, National Alliance of Mental Illness, and James Curtis. And he's just been like a great friend for 7 or 8 years. And we've done a lot of like presentations together in schools, and we've kind of teamed up a lot. And it was just like a really good conversation just about his journey and depression. And I felt like it was one of the best interviews, but I've done a lot of good. I feel like everyone's been pretty good. So, but that's like my favorite one. So
your favorite one.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So we're coming up on the end of time here, and I want the last question I always ask, maybe always ask, but it somehow gets there. Give us like a 30-second, 45-second or minute, whatever, of why they should listen to your podcast or any information that you want to give the audience that they haven't gotten so far.
For sure. Well, I'm definitely not the only one talking about mental health, but one of the things I do feel like I kind of specialize in is talking about like faith and mental health, of like growing up in church and kind of like, you know, there's a lot of good things I do believe about the Bible and church, but there's also a lot of unhealthy things and not so great things that you can kind of learn, especially if that's all you've known your whole life. So I do try to kind of merge those two subjects together. So it's not just the broadness of like depression and bipolar and anxiety and masculinity and what to do with those things, but also, I try to tackle like kind of these faith issues that kind of have attached themselves also to the mental illness conversation. And in a lot of ways, it's made it a little bit more confusing for a lot of people. It's like more confusing when you try to involve God into that conversation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know if it's supposed to be that way. I thought God's supposed to have the answer here, you know, instead of what lots of people can find themselves really struggling a lot with their own faith because they have a mental illness at the same time. It's like those things don't exist. They can't exist together. So if you want to go on that journey and you want to get more about that, that's really what I'm trying to do the most of. But I don't limit it to that, where I do want to talk to people who don't think the way I think, you know, because yeah. There's no way to learn if you're only like, I'm only talking to the people who, you know, think the way
believe
I think,
what I believe. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Because just everybody's unique and different. And I believe everybody is special and has something to offer to the conversation, you know, because that's like more like coming from it from a place of love, right? Of like mm-hmm. respecting everybody who is alive, right? Because we all struggle. So
yeah, that is so awesome. Jared, thank you so much for coming on the show. Tell yeah. everybody who's listening and not watching us where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, so Facebook, Jared Diehl, D-I-E-H-L, Louder Now, the Louder Now podcast is a Facebook page. Louder Now MH on Instagram, Jared Diehl on Instagram. Let's see, Twitter, I think, is Louder Now MH. JaredDiehl.com is like my blog. I have like a pod page website, but I don't really promote that because it's not that great. So, but yeah, if you want to, you know, reach out to me through any of that, you can email me loudernow88@gmail.com. And yeah, the podcast is Amazon, Google, Spotify. Apple, my Apple podcast has like the old logo. I need to fix that. But, you know, anywhere that you get the podcast, those are kind of the four main places. So
awesome. Thank you yeah. so much, Jared, for joining
Thank you.
Me. No
Thank
problem.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Thanks for coming on and talking about some mental health. Folks, that has been episode 8, EP 8 of What the Pod. Thank you for listening. If you want the links to anything that Jared said today or What the Pod, everything is in the description on whatever you're watching. Hit the like button, the follow button, the subscribe button, the bell, whatever is so that you can continue to get my content. And remember, folks, I've got merch. Look at this awesome What the Pod mask that I have, which we all should still be wearing. Indiana, yes, I'm shaming you for that mask mandate being left open. Please go support the podcast on Patreon or djtreesytrees.tv. This has been What the Pod. Thank you for listening.